Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. And I am joined by Dr. Chris Hughes, who is also hosting the show with me today. It is an honor and pleasure for me to host the show for Dr. Youngblood. And Chris, we finished the first half of the program discussing sin and how sin has such a negative effect on not only our lives personally, but on our culture. And Chris, you made such a good point that we are not having enough of the churches preaching about sin, that instead that they tend to skirt that issue, and what that is causing is people to accept it even more. And as a church, we should be the ones who stand up to sin, who be the beacons of righteousness that God has called us to be. Chris, thank you for joining us today. Chris is one of America's most important, influential, and respected voices on cultural and political issues. Chris, thank you for joining us.
Mike, thanks for having me today. It's always an honor to be here and to interact with your guests as we talk about how we can turn this nation back to Jesus.
Amen. Chris, there's an article that I was reading from the WorldNet Daily that's titled, "Feds Are Paying Hospitals to Provide Poor and Deadly COVID Care." But before we get to that, Chris, I would like to introduce our guest, Jose Rivera, JD. He and I have become friends. He also lives here in the Pensacola, Florida area. And Jose was at the, we have a caller on line one. Caller, go ahead, please.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, please. What is your comment?
Hey, listen, you're talking about sin in the church. I got a quick question. As a Latino, Hispanic, whatever name they want to put me, I don't care. I'm a follower of Christ. When I used to go to the Spanish-speaking churches, they emphasize a lot to be holy because God is holy. And they lay it out there on black and white. You know what I mean? The things that are called by their name, they don't sugarcoat anything. It might be a raw message, but you know what? That gives you the fear of the Lord. And one of the things that I learned when I was a baby in the Lord was that if you fast and you pray and you read the Bible, fasting especially, that kills those desires of the flesh to sin. You know what I mean? I give you the will. That give you the strength to say to the temptation, you know what? Because you got those, the inner being, the inner spiritual being, is being developed. It has, it's a giant, it's a muscle, a spiritual person when we focus on prayer and fasting and reading the word. But when in this generation, I don't see the teaching, I don't see Bible studies. They only got a Wednesday Bible study, if you, we can call it like that, and you got maybe 10 or 20% in attendance, and Sunday school is no longer in the churches anymore. And they don't even mention about the importance of fast to kill the desires of the flesh. So I think that's one of the big mistakes that as a church has let the devil infiltrate and has little by little removed those important tools that the Lord has given us to combat the desires of the flesh. Do you have any comment or any, you know, about that? Because I miss that a lot. And I do it on my life, in my family, we do it ourselves. Is there any reason why? I keep listening, brothers. Thank you very much.
Jose, thank you for comment, your question. Chris, what is your thought on that?
Well, he's exactly right that many churches have gotten away from God's word today, and I'm glad that some of the Hispanic churches that he's visited have really diving into the Word of God. But we need to return to Sunday school in the old times when we had discipleship training and those kind of things. And that's how Christians are going to be better equipped, by gathering with other Christians. That's another sad thing about what's happened with COVID, is many churches have kind of closed their doors now. And even now, a year and a half, almost 2 years later, a lot of churches are still just meeting online. And there's an importance for gathering together. The Bible commands us in Hebrews to get together as believers. God tells us to forsake not the gathering of believers together. Fellowship is important. And when we dive into God's word with each other, it helps us to hold each other accountable. And we can grow in the fear and admonition of the Lord when we do that as a church.
Amen. Well said, Chris. We do now have our other guest on the phone, Jesus Rivera. Jesus was a part of the, was at the Capitol on January 6th. He was there. He went into the Capitol because he's a documentarian and was documenting what he saw was taking place. And shortly after that, his life changed. Jesus, welcome to the show. And please share what happened after you left D.C. on January 6th.
Oh, hey, thank you for having me. I don't know how much time I have, so I'll try to get it all out there. But a lot has happened for me and my family, unfortunately. But after January 6th, on our way home, you know, we were getting a lot of obvious threats on our social media sites, talking about who we are, calling us domestic terrorists. They're going to turn us into the FBI. And lo and behold, on January 20th, the FBI comes knocking at my door at 7:30 in the morning to arrest me, to include taking all of my gear. As you said, Mike, I'm a documentarian. I'm a filmmaker. I'm a freelance photographer, videographer. And they came and took everything from me. My entire life kind of turned upside down from all that. Not only because they took everything from me, but from that point on, here in Pensacola, Florida, you know, there's a lot of people who used to use me for work that no longer can because they consider myself a liability. My wife almost lost her job at a church, at a school, and she's an administration person. But it was tough. And you guys have been talking about the church in general. You know, we had a lot of people that we considered family from our church who were a part of, you know, dropping our names to the FBI because of their hatred for said person. And it got tough for us
Jesus,
in a long time.
Let me interrupt you there, because that's totally amazing to me. There were members of your church here in Pensacola who turned you in to the FBI simply because of their hatred for President Trump. Is that correct?
That's 100% correct. And a lot of people ask, how do you know that? Well, the FBI, they weren't too shy about explaining who said what and how do I know certain individuals. And when we saw those individuals' Facebook comments about, hey, if you know specifically JD and Jessica, make sure you turn them into the FBI. They weren't hiding it, who they were. And it's unfortunate because it wasn't only people that I knew and grew to love. There's people my wife literally grew up with, babysat for, you know, they babysat her as a child. And for a while, it turned my church into a really hot spot for a lot of, you know, specific talks, you know, whether my church was for or against certain things, and forgetting about, you know, the simple fact that, you know, regardless of anybody's actions, past, you know, whatever it is, that as a church, we should be, you know, loving on each other in a specific way, but same time trying to build each other up and help each other out. But that wasn't the case, unfortunately. And
well, that's a shame, Jesus. And I understand that you actually left that church and have joined another. And that was, in fact, how I was able to meet you. Yes. You came to one of our Wednesday night sessions where we do God and Government. And let me ask you this, Jesus. I know you've had to get legal representation, which is costing you money, and they have not returned your equipment back yet that you used as your way of earning income. Is that correct? They have not returned your equipment. And what is your legal status right now? What is your legal situation?
So this is kind of funny. So my legal status right now, I'm still pending everything. You know, since January, they've pushed it back saying they need more time to figure out what's going on. They need more time for discovery. My lawyer has said, let's just push it out as far as we can. And 2 weeks ago, I had my last court hearing, and they pushed my next court hearing to, out of all days, January 6th. So my next court hearing is on January 6th. I believe this court hearing is going to be talking about specifically going to trial. I know a lot of cases for everybody who's dealing with this right now are talking about their trials now. And that is tough because, you know, just getting the amount of money I was able to get when I first got my lawyer was tough. And I'm sure it's going to be that much more because we're going to have to spend time in D.C. You know, I got to take care of my lawyer there, things of that nature. So that's going to be tough. And I did have another lawyer. The gentleman's name is Larry Klayman, who's taking me on pro bono. And he tried to send the FBI, the Department of Justice, a letter claiming that they need to give back my gear, and they denied him completely. So I still don't have the gear that I have. I was able to. At one point, I did have a teacher that worked with my wife who's been following us from the beginning, knowing us. She felt bad, so she literally went and made sure to help us purchase an actual a refurbished camera so I can get back into it and start doing some work. And I've been doing a little dabbling in photography here and there and getting some stuff done. But it's nowhere near, you know, the amount of what I was doing before when I was shooting for I'm not going to say the company's name, but I was doing stuff at the Naval Museum. I was doing stuff with Blue Angels. I had a lot of work before, and it's just not the same.
And, JD, what did they charge you with?
I have four counts. They're all misdemeanors. Basically, I don't have the exact charges in front of me, but it's parading, demonstrating, picketing, those charges. The same four charges that they're pretty much giving everybody and anybody that was at the Capitol or outside of the Capitol.
So just something to harass you and cost you money and tie you up and hurt your future. So, Mike, if you don't mind, I'd love to ask him about that day, you know, and I don't want you to endanger your case any if you can't discuss it. Go by JD, is that right?
I do go by JD, and I'll explain this. I'm 100% open and transparent. My lawyer's already said that we have nothing to hide. There's a possibility that I get to speak to Dinesh D'Souza here on his podcast too, so I can go over that kind of stuff. So anything you have to ask, feel free.
JD, you know, a lot of people in the country have been told a whole bucket of lies about that day. They call it an insurrection and an attempt to take over the government. And that's just nonsense. It was not one armed person at all. And there was no insurrection at all. What were you seeing? I mean, was it mostly peaceful demonstrators? Do you think there were Antifa mixed in with the crowd? What were you seeing on the ground that day in D.C.?
Well, I was there. I was in D.C. on the 5th first, so I can tell you I've seen nothing. But the day before and the day of, all the way up to what happened at the Capitol, everything was amazing. And if you notice that in the media, the mainstream, anywhere right now, they're not showing you anything that happened actually the day of, during Trump's speech, things of that nature. They're not showing you any of that because the footage that you'll see there would completely dismantle the narrative of it was a coup and it was a complete setup and everybody knew what was going on. It was nothing but love and happiness throughout the entire place. And once everything happened at the Capitol, there were some agitators there. We have proof. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the website. Is it all right if I call out the website for
sure.
Kind of working with now?
Yes.
Is that okay?
Go ahead, Hayfoo.
Okay, so I work with a group called StopHate.com, and we have everything as far as footage to include the other four deaths that happened, not with Officer Sicknick and not with just Ashley Babbitt, but the other ones that happened there where people were saying that it was a drug overdose or what, you know, whatever, but we have proof that it was something that happened. One, Roseanne Boylan, it wasn't an overdose. And the other gentleman, he had a heart attack from the actual grenade that they threw out there. So there's a lot of stuff that they're hiding. We do have footage of Antifa literally changing inside the Capitol and outside the Capitol prior to going in. Were there Trump supporters and MAGA personnel that were in the Capitol? Of course. Were there some individuals who decided to do something dumb? Absolutely. I got that on footage as well, too. It was mob mentality. Anybody who knows anything about mob mentality knows all it takes is a little spark. And there was a lot of upset, you know, conservatives and Republicans who felt that and know that this election was completely stolen. And with that, it just took one little spark from somebody, and we don't know whether it was Antifa or one of the three named or the three alphabet, you know, type of areas that are a part of it. But the crazy thing is there's individuals that we have on camera that are not masked. You can see exactly who they are, breaking windows, you know, fighting with the cops. And these people haven't been arrested or charged with anything. And you have individuals like myself, my buddy Sean, and a couple other people who are in there documenting who are being charged and being treated as if we did do something bad. So there's a lot of stuff going on that is coming out slowly but surely. And, you know, the media and the Democratic Party right now is doing their best to hide what actually happened. They even came out with the HBO documentary to make it seem as if there was an actual insurrection. If you look at anything, if you go into the Capitol directory that talks about all these, everybody's charged. I don't believe I've seen anybody who's being charged with a sedition yet, or insurrection for that matter. So them saying that right there, to include the President of the United States, that it was an insurrection, has been ridiculous. I'm a Marine Corps veteran of 10 years. I'm a filmmaker, and now I'm being treated as a domestic terrorist in the same country that I fought for. And it's unfortunate because I'm not the only veteran. I think there's about 30 plus of us that are dealing with it, and half of them are in the gulag right now in D.C. They're using our veteran status against us, and it's unfortunate that we're dealing with this.
J.D., I don't know if you're friends with any of the people that are being held, but I've been told that people are being held in solitary confinement for over 23 hours a day. They're not allowed contact with their family. Are you hearing the same thing?
No, that's exactly what's happening. There's actually a lot of – we have a lawyer dealing with us right now who's trying to get information. It was a lot of stuff that Stop Hate and Julie Kelly and Dinesh had put together that has got them to get our city members, Congress, to go through and get that, you know, they did the surprise inspection in D.C. in the jail that showed that the living conditions and everything that was happening was horrible. You have someone like Jeremy Brown here in Florida who now is taking, I think today is his fourth day or his fifth day, who's been on a hunger strike. This gentleman, he's also a veteran. He didn't even go inside the Capitol, but he was arrested. And he's there. I don't know anybody personally. I don't. But I know their stories, and I've talked to their family members. And I can tell you right now, one of the toughest things that everybody's dealing with is legal representation. That is one of the hardest things outside of, again, those in the gulag right now, and we call that the gulag, which we're talking about Washington, D.C., in prison, they're not having their right. Their rights are completely taken away. You know, they don't get to shower as often. They don't get to brush their teeth. They're not getting their phone calls. You know, anybody who's sending letters, and if you go to stophate.com, we have an area where you can send letters to them. And there's a food drive thing for the family members, things of that nature. But they're not getting their letters. They're not getting the treatment that they should be getting. You know, we're holding these gentlemen, and I say gentlemen lightly because I'm not saying every one of them are innocent, but a majority of them I believe are. And they're holding them in prison right now, and they don't even have a court date yet or a court hearing. I'm not understanding how these people are being held in prison without any type of information, any type of representation, or any type of, you know, future dates pending. It's just because they're being labeled as terrorists, and so exactly.
all the regular laws are out the window because the Biden administration has labeled them as terrorists. So, yeah, you know, I'm assuming that you had press credentials. You know, CNN, Fox News, ABC, NBC, they were all there. Why were you arrested? You're a member of the press. Why you and not these other members of the press that,
because
that
I'm,
were there?
Because as a citizen journalist, I didn't have the same press credentials as everybody else did. But even with that, I can say this. There's a gentleman by the name of Luke Mogensen who's being praised as a hero for documenting what happened inside the Capitol. If you look at Luke Mogensen's video and put it side by side with mine, it's the same thing. The difference is I stopped at a specific point and then I left the Capitol. Luke Mogensen stayed in. He was there with the QAnon guy and everybody that went through the original, the first people who kind of, you know, forced their way in. He was there with the people fighting. He was inside the Senate chambers. He's the one that got footage of Senate documentation, which is obviously supposed to be secret, on his camera. But because he works for the New Yorker and he had a press pass that day, so they say, he hasn't been charged. He still has his gear. He still has a great job and a great life. And he's being hailed as a hero. But in his video.
Hey, JD, Chris, hold on just for a second, please. We have a caller, Tom. Tom, what is your question or your thought, please?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I was listening to the news today, and they're saying that Biden has reversed his position. A month ago, he said that we were going to defend Taiwan, but now he says we're only going to sell them arms, that we're not going to defend them. This long
that's kind of off topic right now, but thank you for that call. We're talking about now what is happening, what happened at the Capitol, and some of our veterans and patriots, how poorly they are being treated. If you would, JD, share again that website that people can go to learn the truth about what's happening.
So one thing, so as a citizen journalist, I'm working for Stop Hate. If you go to stophate.com, that's where you're going to get a lot of the information for the January 6th detainees, individuals who've been able to get crowdfunding like myself. You can find select individuals. And here's the key thing for that. There's a lot of people out there that I call grifters that are saying, oh, you know, donate to us for the January 6th political prisoners. They're not doing anything for them. You go to stophate.com. You can go to the individual in person, just like myself. You can look up my name. It's there. And you go to individual crowdfunding that goes directly to them or directly to their family. So it's not going anywhere else, directly to you. It also has an area where you can write to the January 6th political prisoners because they need as much help, as much support as they can get. That's what's keeping them going. You can write to them.
Well, JD, let me ask you something there. If we go there, StopHate.com, and we write to these political prisoners, are they going to get that information? Are they going to get that mail, or is it being withheld from them?
It is being withheld from them, but they're also getting it. And what I mean is the mail will get there, and there's been individuals who didn't get a letter for about 2 months. So they're getting them, and they're starting to see, especially after what happened in D.C. when they did that surprise inspection, all the inmates started getting all their letters that were being withheld from them for the longest of times. So they are getting them now, and a lot of them are able to speak out. Some of them are being able to talk. We're able to talk to some of them that are there as well. So if people can write to them, this is individual things that you can do for people within January 6th. One of the other things, too, is if you're looking to help someone out, you know, you can literally Google who was arrested for January 6th in your county, in your city. It pops up. It's all over. The news has covered it for everybody. And it's not just those detainees that are struggling. You got to remember, there's 600 plus individuals who were arrested, 643, I believe, that were arrested and have been charged for that day. Out of those 643, 105 of them to this day have taken a plea deal. And the plea deals haven't done anything for them other than taking money out of their pocket because they don't have proper representation. They're being scared into taking these plea deals in the events that they could potentially go to jail for 6 to 25 years, like myself, for a misdemeanor charge. All of my charges are criminal. I didn't do anything criminal. The craziest part about it, even in my case, is if you look on my Twitter, I have it in the heading, but I saw that the FBI had tweeted out that they were going to hold me responsible for all the criminal activity or for the violence and everything else that happened at DC on January 6th. I don't have one violent charge. So they're holding me accountable. The FBI says they're going to hold me accountable for the violent actions, but I don't have one violent charge. So they're just throwing the spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks right now.
JD, you mentioned the need for legal representation. Have you talked to anybody like the Alliance Defending Freedom or American Center for Law and Justice or Jay Sekulow, people like that, to possibly represent you?
I have a lawyer. His name is Guy Womack out of Texas. I haven't reached out to anybody else. It was tough. You know, I didn't know anything about what was going to happen, and somebody got Guy with me. And I could tell you right now, when I did my when I was driving from Sanford to California doing my little documentary talking to people, one of the things was the horror stories of the legal representation they do have. And I can tell you, I probably have one of the better lawyers out there compared to the people that I've talked to. So for me, I'm not worried about me anymore. The worrying about me is long gone. I want to make sure that the individuals now that are being persecuted for January 6th are getting the help that they need and deserve. Because I saw what happened to me when I was when everything happened to me and I was trying to get the help and people just didn't want to have my have anything to do with it. It kind of struck a chord that, look, if I'm able to travel, if I'm able to leave Florida now, you know, it took 6 months, but am I able to? There's individuals that are probably going through the exact same thing as I am, if not worse. And I need to get their stories told, and I need to get their crowdfunding out there, and I need to get them help. Because right now, we're blessed. We live in Pensacola, so we live in a good place. We have a lot of mental support out here. My mom lives here now, so there's a lot of stuff that's changed that's keeping us afloat. And I want to make sure that I'm able to give back. And what we've decided, and this goes, again, this is all God right here. You know, I told my wife, we hope that I don't have to do any time. But if we do, if I have to do any time, I'm going to treat it as a mission trip. And I'm going to spread the gospel while I'm there. That's how Amen. I was able to take everything, JD, not stress
we're
off
we're getting
this
short
and know
on
that
time.
No matter what,
I have to take a hard break here at the end of the hour. I want to thank you for joining us today. Again, that website is stophate.com, stophate.com. You can go there. You can communicate directly with those who have been charged. You can help them with funding, which is so needed. And JD, I want you to know that we are going to be praying for you and your family, as we have been in our Wednesday night class there at Marcus Point Baptist Church. We're going to be praying for you, blessings on you, and that you will not have to serve jail time, but will be able to do your ministry of spreading the gospel even outside of jail. Chris, we have about a minute left in the show. If you would close us out, please, on either a prayer or how citizens, how Christians should react right now to what they see going on in our nation.
I just feel like we need to be praying for JD. We just got a second. Dear and Father, I thank you for JD. I thank you for his service to this great nation, for him selflessly offering his life to defend freedom. And we just pray that you be with him and his family during this trying time. Let his testimony be something that's heard across the world. Thank you that he wants to be a missionary for you. Let him know your peace. Let him know your love. Provide great legal representation and protect our brother and his family as he takes a stand for Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. This was Mike Hill and Chris Hughes sitting in for Dr. Gene A. Youngblood with our special guest, Jesus Rivera. Have a blessed day.
Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.